Good afternoon. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the USPP call. At this time, all participants are on a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that the call is being recorded today on Wednesday, the 30th of August, 2017. And I'd like to hand the call over to your speaker today, Martin Schütte-Verre. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and good morning to those participants on the US side, and good afternoon for those in London. Welcome here to the USPP call following our half-year numbers, which we released last week. What was it, week before already? With me around the table here, we've got Hans Kamps, our CFO, and Frank on the treasury side, plus myself from investor relations. With that, I would like to hand over to Hans. Everyone will have received a copy of the presentation, which we'll be running through, which is an extract of what we also disclosed to analysts and the wider community with the half-year numbers. With that, Hans, over to you.
Yes, thank you, Martijn. Also, everybody, welcome, and thank you for calling in. First 6 months of 2017, no real surprises. Although revenues are down, and I'm on slide three, by the way. Revenues are down with about 7%. If we correct that for acquisitions and divestments, it is even a decrease of revenues with approximately 13%. Net profit is substantially down with just over 50% from almost 150 last year to 75 this first half of the year. EBITDA is down, although still a very substantial number, but as said, no surprises there. This is all as we had expected, and as you will recall from earlier calls, where we have seen the situation in the oil and gas sector, particularly the offshore oil and gas sector, being pretty bad already for a couple of years now. As a rather late cyclical company, it has taken a while before this has filtered down into our results. We saw somewhat of that last year, and as you may remember, considering the market, we took substantial impairments, but operationally the results were still quite decent last year. But now, and I'll come back to that in a minute when I discuss the three different segments. But we are increasingly feeling the pain of the situation in the oil and the gas market, hence the substantial reduction in line of the results, but all pretty much in line as we had expected when we went into 2017. Positive note for the first half is that our order book has increased, not so much in oil and gas, primarily in dredging. We'll be discussing that in a few minutes, but that's about 300 million up versus the beginning of this year. And for people like you, the balance sheet has remained very robust, even somewhat stronger than it was at the beginning of the year, with a solvency ratio of solidly over 60%. I'm then going to slide number four. I already mentioned order book is up versus the beginning of the year, fully within the dredging segment, and we'll be talking about that in a minute. A few very substantial orders that we booked in the first half. Very large project in Duqm. Very interesting job. Job in India in a joint venture with Denel from Belgium. Follow up on a project that we did a number of years ago, and project that we had already for a number of years is the maintenance works for the Chevron-operated LNG plant in Angola. We're doing that together with Daymay, and we got an extension of that maintenance contract for the next five years. Also, in offshore energy, very busy situation right now for VBMS, the company that we had already 50% stake in, but as you know, last year we did the acquisition of the Falco Vessels offshore activities and that also delivered us the other 50% of VBMS power cable laying, primarily for the renewable industry, operating at full throttle, and also this first half of the year, two very interesting, quite substantial new contracts into the order book. And then just after the closing of the first half, we got two projects awarded, one interesting one, a key wall in the new port of Norrköping in Sweden, and very interesting, although not without its issues, the rock dumping works for the Nord Stream gas export pipeline. We received the letter of intent. We're currently in the contractual discussions with the employer on the job. This is a job that could potentially be affected by the latest sanction legislation from the US Congress. Also, the language with respect to this project is not as strong as for some of the other parts of that legislation, but it's not without its risk, obviously. But as said, so far we're in contractual negotiations and hope to conclude that contract within the next couple of weeks. Offshore order book has come down, and we're not acquiring work in the same extent as we're running down the old order book. That is particularly the case with respect to Dockwise, we're in the final stages, I would say, of running off all the contracts that we got awarded already quite a few years ago at still very good price levels, but we're running those off, and substituting work is primarily work in the spot market, which means relatively short jobs that do not substantially contribute to the order book. That with respect to the order portfolio, slide 5 is the covenants. Not that much to say about it. Also, by the 30th of June, we were in a net cash position, something like 235 million, so therefore a negative on that covenant, and interest rate covenant very substantially ahead of where we should be. Then I'm continuing slide number 7. Headlines, revenue and results. Before I dig into the various segments, E-plus for dredging versus the first half of last year in revenue terms, stable in result terms when you compare that to the first half of last year, the second half of last year. Offshore energy, as I already mentioned in my introduction, that is down, revenues are down, and results are substantially down, and that also applies to stowage and salvage. Revenues are down, partly as a result of a deconsolidation effect, but also partly because of lower volumes in that market within the various joint ventures that we have, and a slow first half in salvage. Head office costs, call it the non-allocated income and expenses, so that is basically head office costs and some non-allocated expenses, stable versus the first half of last year. Then, digging into the various segments, slide number 9, dredging and inland infra. I already mentioned revenues are up. In particular, here in northwestern Europe, we had a pretty busy first six months of this year. Utilization, as you can see on the next slide, very quickly referring to that one. So slide number 10, the utilization rate of the hoppers, where we had a very, very low utilization the first half of last year, as I mentioned at the time, 25 even first half of last year. It was better with almost 30 weeks for the second half of the year, on average 27 weeks. First half of this year, we're back in the 30s, where we ought to be, and we ought to improve somewhat further than the 31. And that is notwithstanding the fact that we had the Queen, one of the two largest hoppers, out of operation for a while due to the motor damage that was incurred end of last year, and substantial repairs on the fairway. That notwithstanding, a 31 weeks of utilization, which means that for this year, looking at the second half of this year, looking at the order back, we should be back solidly above 30 weeks, although not in the area of where we always hope to be, which is closer to 40. So utilization up, be it that it is, I mean, I would characterize the dredging market now as reasonable. It is far from buoyant as it has been for a number of years, but certainly better than last year. Be it competitive, so utilization is up. EBIT is flat versus last year due to, on average, somewhat lower margins. The Dutch inland infra activities have again contributed positively to our result. For your background, that's about a third of the revenue. Different margin profile. Talking about margins of EBIT margins of about three. In the range of 3 to 4, 5% in a very good year. We're now in the lower end of that range, but stable with respect to the first half of last year. And the development in the order book I already discussed. Then I'll continue with slide number 12. Offshore energy are already mentioned. We're not there in the downward slope. We're running off the order book for HMT, the heavy marine transport, the Dockwise fleet, due to the conditions in the oil and gas the gas market. So long-term contracts, being the contracts that we got awarded already quite a few years ago, like the Aasta Hansteen development, on which we have worked first half of this year and will still do some work in the second half of the year. But apart of that, there are no real long-term projects in portfolio. There are no logistical management projects in portfolio, which means that we're increasingly dependent on work on the spot market, where pricing is much more competitive than in the activities that I just mentioned. That's a very substantial cause for the reduction in revenues, EBITDA and EBIT over the first 6 months. In addition to that factor, we also have seen, compared to last year, a lower volume in the offshore wind foundation work. You may remember last year we had two projects in under execution, the Wikinger project and the Veja Mater project, and in particular the Veja Mater project, due to a very large procurement component. The procurement of the mono piles contributed very substantial to revenue. This year we have only one project under execution, which is the Aberdeen wind farm, and under execution means that currently we're still in the preparatory stages for actual installation later this year and the beginning of next year. On the other hand, first 6 months of last year, we didn't have any contribution of FEBMS because we acquired the remaining 50% only per mid of last year. And as I already mentioned, FEBMS has contributed this first half year quite substantially in revenue terms, as well as in EBITDA and EBIT terms. A very solid positive performance. Overall, fleet utilization Not bad at all, with 70%. Although, as I mentioned, part of that has to be acquired in the spot market, where it contributes, these type of projects contribute more in cash flow terms, in EBITDA terms, than in EBIT terms, because these type of contracts barely allow for any positive EBIT. A good thing is, with that stable utilization, it is skewed even a better utilization at the top end of the range, vessels like the Vanguard and the black and the white Marlin type of vessels. Lower utilization at the lower end of the range, the commodity type vessels. Then a few words on towage and salvage, which is slide number 14. I already mentioned, and you may remember, that last year, at the end of the first quarter, the beginning of the second quarter, we transferred our Northwest European towage operations into the new venture with Kotig here from the Netherlands, which means that as of the second quarter of last year, we no longer consolidate those operations. We do obviously consolidate our share in the net result, but do not consolidate any revenues, and not the gross EBITDA, but only our share in the net result. So part of the decline in revenues and EBITDA is due to that deconsolidation, but that's only part. Two other factors play a role in this division. Overall, in towage, we have seen a decline in volume, in particular within those joint ventures that, to a certain extent, depend on activities also in the oil and gas sector. And this first half of the year, we had last year quite a sizable effect on the business of Smit-Lamnalco. That has been rather stable these first six months, so it looks like that has been bottoming out. But that was not the case, particular in Singapore, where we have a joint venture with Keppel, doing quite a lot of work for the shipyards in Singapore, and also these shipyards, as we with our contracts in heavy marine transport, they are running off their backlogs, not substituting it with sufficient new work. So activity levels in Singapore have really reached now a low level, which we are also feeling in our towage activities there. And then there were in the various joint ventures some other sometimes more incidental factors that have brought revenues and results down somewhat compared to last year. Third factor there is salvage. Salvage, we have seen a slow market, simply as I think I said of the second half of last year, simply not sufficient problems out there. Fortunately, last week we saw the grounding of a very nice yacht. Some of you may have seen the picture. A yacht grounded somewhere in the southern part of the world, but except for that, there aren't many incidents at sea. We have not lost any market share. Simply, the work isn't there, not in the wreck removal sphere, nor in the emergency response area. So therefore, also due to that factor, revenues and results down in this segment. Slide 15 won't discuss, just as general background that we normally include for the analysts that are equity analysts very interested in the 100% pro forma numbers of the various joint ventures we have in the towage sector. And then lastly, slide number 16, holding and eliminations. I already mentioned at the beginning, nothing particular there, mainly head office costs and some other non-allocated costs. Fugro, we divested at the beginning of this year, so where we had a substantial loss on our investment in Fugro first half last year, our share in the loss of Fugro. That is we have completely divested beginning of this year the remaining shares of Fugro, so we're back to just head office costs and non-allocated other costs. That's what I wanted to say about the results. A few words on the balance sheet, slide number 18. I already said it at the beginning. Things still a rock solid balance sheet. Net cash position even slightly improved versus the beginning of this year. Important factor there has been, as I just mentioned, the divestment of our remaining shares in Fugro, which contributed about 115 million in cash at the beginning of this year. As you know, we fully repaid at the beginning of this year in January the 2010 series of USPP, and those I think are the most important changes in the balance sheet. EBITDA down, results down, as I said at the beginning. Reflection of where the market is, in particular in oil and gas. Nevertheless, very solid, still 200 million positive cash flow for the first half of this year. With about 112, so about half of that spent on capital expenditure. The numbers there on slide 20, 112 gross, and after some divestments about 104 net, so just over 50% of the cash flow. Largest contributors there, the Megakutter Helios that we have taken into operation on the first of July. And that after a small job currently in the or just concluded in the port of Rotterdam, will later this year go on in its way to work on the job that I mentioned at the beginning, the contract in Duqm in Oman. So that was one element on which we spent money on CapEx. We have ordered a second mega cutter. We have decided to use the current situation in the shipyard markets with prices we believe really on rock bottom levels this year, using the advantage of building a second vessel, which is always cheaper than a first vessel in a series. Because a lot of the preparatory, the design work, etc., has already been done, so a second vessel is cheaper than the first one. And at current prices, we've decided that was too good an opportunity and too good a situation in that market to let that slip, and then decide to build a vessel in 3 or 4 years. So we have ordered it now. But we will do that slowly. So this vessel is only going to come into operation sometime later in 2020. But we have started work on that, and then we are currently on our way with converting the Dockwise vessel, the Vinesse, into a heavy lift vessel, primarily for the renewable sector, to be called the Boka Lift 1. And then lastly, I think almost lastly on the numbers, slide 21, our cash flow. I already mentioned about a 200 million cash flow, almost completely absorbed by working capital. Not an unusual phenomenon in the first half of the year. The most optimal situation we always have the end of the year, when certainly government clients tend to pay off everything that is outstanding, and we're in the winter season. Now we're back into the summer season in various areas of the world, working at full throttle. So an absorption of working capital, net capital expenditure, we discussed the divestment in Fugro, we discussed. We paid around 30 million in cash for the dividend 2016. Again, consistent with our policy, we gave shareholders the choice to go for a dividend in stock or in cash. Around 75% up versus last year. 75% of the shareholders elected for dividend in shares. So only a quarter of the dividend 2016 has been paid in cash, which was around 30 million. Together with some forex effects and hedges that that resulted in a cash in of just over 60 million, has resulted into the 33 million improvement in our cash net cash position. Slide 22. The covenants, but we already mentioned that at the beginning, and the maturity schedule of our debt, rather simple, is your USPP, which expires in 2023, and it is a standby revolving credit facility of 600 million, which we have unused at the 30th of June. Outlook. Mixed outlook, mixed market picture, dredging and inland infra, as I already mentioned, reasonable volumes, competitive pricing, but stable, interesting projects in the tender pipeline. So therefore, reasonable, stable. Towage. After the drop first half year, we think we're now at relatively stable volumes. We look at port traffic. If we look at the development of world trade, and the fact that within most of the joint ventures we seem to have hit the bottom in the oil and gas activities, we're looking forward for relatively stable volumes. Offshore energy. I already mentioned a decline in contracting and friction in the supply-demand balance for the services, in particular the heavy marine transport. That will be very challenging going forward. We have, as I think I mentioned when we discussed the 2016 annual results. We had in the end of the first quarter, beginning of the second quarter, started an evaluation of our head office costs. We have concluded that study and started implementing the results, which is a reduction of around 260 employees. A substantial part of that has already been affected by natural attrition, by people leaving, by terminating temporary contracts, etc. The other half are forced redundancies, but most of that have already been agreed with the employees. With the relevant employees, so we're looking at fully completing that rationalization in the course of the second half of the year. Also, the full effect of the savings as a result of that, we expect to be at the full level sometime at the end of next year. But then we should be at total savings in that program, personal, but also substantial, and those will take generally somewhat longer. The other types of savings, like for instance outsourcing quite a substantial part of our ICT activities, but we should be at the full level of savings towards the end of next year, which should be in the order of 30 to 35 million. Total cost of that program, which is primarily the costs related to the redundancies that I just mentioned, we estimate those at approximately 15 million, and we will take that expense in the second half of this year. All in all, so looking at activities, looking at our order book, looking at this 15 million, and if we correct for that 15 million operational result for the next 6 months, we expect to be at approximately the same level, comparable level to the first half of the year. And with respect to CAPEX, we're still on the outlook there, the expectation there, as we mentioned, beginning of this year, of around 250 million. My final remark is, we just recently, two weeks ago, did an acquisition. As I mentioned, we have reduced our investment, or totally sold our investment in Fugro, which does not mean that we have lost interest in the marine survey activities. That is, as we mentioned at the time that we took the interest in Fugro, is an area that we would like to expand our activities in. We're not going to do that together with Fugro. So we have continued our search for potential candidates, and that is not companies comparable to Fugro, because in that sense Fugro is unique. There is only one player of the size and of the as broad a base as Fugro in that area. That market is, except for Fugro, rather fragmented. But there is a very interesting player here, a follower in that market, primarily active in the North Sea, which is Gardline. That's a company that's, like most of the companies in that area, has gone through a tough time with results coming down, revenues and results coming down very substantially. But a good operator with a good fleet of vessels, in total 15 survey vessels, also smaller vessels that are used for the offshore winter sector. It was a family-owned company established in the late 60s. We have come to an agreement with the family shareholders, and as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, we effected that transaction and acquired that company. Now, given the state of that market, we do not expect the company to really contribute to the result in the next few years. It should be overall in that period about a break-even situation. But when the market will recover, we think we have an excellent player there in that market, enable us to build up further our position in that area, not only a marine survey, but also broaden our activities in the North Sea. In total, it's not a very substantial investment. It's a 40 million pounds enterprise value. Was a cash transaction, as I said, that we have effected in the meantime. That is by way of introduction presentation that I would like to mention, and then I give the floor back to Martijn.
Thank you, Hans. Thanks for that. And with that, operator, I'd like to open the call for question and answers.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel the request, please press the hash key. Your first question comes from the line of Toby Addison. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Toby Addison from Praecoa Capital Group. First off, just want to say thanks very much for holding the call. We always find them very useful. I just had a question in terms of, within the dredging or offshore energy divisions, is there any way in which you're trying to specialise operations, such as focusing on more complex projects, or are you trying to keep a fairly broad range of operations?
On that, I think I'd like to repeat, I think, what we said when we drew up our business plan and presented that at the beginning of the year. Within offshore energy, we want to focus on assets to which we can add, let's say, our contracting competencies. So we will focus on contracting within offshore energy, primarily in shallow water areas. We're not a deep water area operator. We're a shallow water operator. We also think, and looking at the developments in oil and gas, this is also an area where we expect the recovery to start earlier than in deep water. But on that, there we would even like to broaden somewhat our activity base, as I just mentioned with Gardline. We were looking at other opportunity, whereas on the other hand, we will look constructively how to position ourselves, let's say, more on the commodity type operations we have in oil and gas, as we mentioned with respect to the heavy marine transport activity, as I just mentioned, where we see increasingly becoming at least part of that fleet of a commodity type vessels, where we see new builds coming into that market, an increasing dependency on the spot market. So we'll be looking at ways to maybe contribute to some type of consolidation or cooperation in that sector. So there it is more of a, maybe with some types of vessels, further reduction of the fleet over time, consolidation, whereas we're looking at broadening and increasing our activity base in shallow water contracting. Does that sufficiently answer your question?
Yeah, that's great. Thanks.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one. Your next question comes from the line of Troy Gerhardt. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Question about cutters. You're building one right now, or you're almost done with one. You have another one that you're going to build. Just kind of curious what the market is or the demand for cutters with that being said.
The cutters, as I think we've always been very clear about, the cutters market for cutters, and it's also how do you find markets for cutters, because cutters is a tool that sometimes you need on projects that do require hoppers and cutters, but it is a market that is much smaller than it is for hoppers. It is also a marker that is tougher in the sense that generally soil conditions, etc., for projects that do require cutters are more risky. It's also more volatile. If you look at utilization numbers in the cutter sectors over the years, you generally see a higher volatility in that market. So that all being said, this is not the greatest segment to, let's say, from a financial return point of view to invest in. But on the other hand, it is like, hey, as a dredging contractor, we're a contractor with a toolbox, and you need all the tools in your toolbox. And we have always focused, not like, for instance, a party as the NIL, as building a large toolbox in cutters. We've always had a relatively modest toolbox in cutters, a few large ones. But these few large ones that we have come to the end of their lifetime. And being one of the prime operators in the dredging sector, you simply need to have two mega cutters. One vessel is not a vessel. makes you too dependent on that one vessel, reduces the flexibility et cetera. So we've always looked at, we're gonna rebuild, or we're gonna build two new cutters. The Helios was the first one. We still have a few of the other older vessels that are still in a well operational mode, but ending or nearing the end of their lifetime. So within the next 4 or 5 years, would have to be replaced. And as said, the time to build it, we believe is right now. And as I already said, it's not that the market does require that second vessel right now. That's why we are taking the time. It will come into operation in 2020. And the way we look at the, again, this is an investment for 30 years. The way we look at the development of the dredging market long term, so for the next 30 years, is that market is going to remain okay. And as a operator, as we are in that market, we will need two of those mega cutters.
Excellent answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Jeff Atwood. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about your decision to step away from Fugro and go into the Gardline operation. Is there an anticipation to potentially grow Gardline to be a little bit more competitive with Fugro, or was it just getting some knowledge in Fugro to potentially apply to your own aspirations?
Well, as I mentioned, I mean, we have we had a long-term wish to develop further in the marine survey sector, and it seemed a few years ago that an opportunity arose with the developments at Fugro and the possibility it created for us to, at an acceptable price level, take a position in Fugro and let's say jointly with Fugro investigate in which way we could work together to also meet that aspiration we had. Now, that's been clear. I mean, Fugro has not been open at all to us. So we were there with that stake in Fugro. Looking at the way that market is developing and what we expected of that market and the way Fugro was valued and taking that all into consideration when we worked at our business plan last year, looking forward, we concluded that this is not the way to go forward. I mean, if we would want to really make a move with Fugro, we would have to consider making a full bid on Fugro, which we believe that the price levels Fugro was valued in the market, taking into consideration if you would make an offer, what you would have to put on top of that by way of a premium, and looking at what we believe the real value of that company was. There was only one conclusion we could come up with, was that at that price level, we should be a divesting Fugro shares instead of making an offer at those type of price levels. That being said, we didn't want to sit around and wait until maybe a better situation would arise, hence the decision to divest our stake in Fugro. I think in the meantime, the market has proven us right. If we look at the development of the share price of Fugro since, it has moved much closer to the kind of level that we thought we would have to consider when making a bid. That being said, alternatives are there. Good alternative was Gardline. And we certainly see that as a first step. We now have established, we believe, a good and solid base at a price level which is we think is reflecting the fact that we believe that we may be in the at the bottom there. I mean, this is a company that just a couple of years had a valuation which was in excess of 200 million. It has, as other companies in that sector, come very substantially down. We think it's a good starting base now to increase our activities there. But that being said, that will be an increase that we will look very carefully and critically at what kinds of steps to make. Will generally be smaller steps. We certainly have no ambition to become a second Fugro, because Fugro has a scope of activities that is much broader than makes sense for us. We're already in the subsea contracting, subsea diving activities. We have no interest in the onshore activities like Fugro has those. So yes, we will we'll be looking at possibilities to increase the scale of our card line, make further steps, but without any ambition to become a second Fugro.
Thank you very much.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, that was good. That was complete. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. We have no further questions. Please continue.
Okay, well, if there is anyone else with a question, feel free to press the buttons, and otherwise we would like to thank you from this end for everyone's interest of dialing in, and as always, if you have questions going forward, feel free to reach out to any of us here in the Netherlands. And unless there are special events, look forward to a call 6 months from now with the full year numbers 2017. Thank you. Over to you, operator.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That does conclude the conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.